come time for our first message this morning. It's good to have Brother Mike Edwards. He pastors the Piedmont Baptist Church down in Kannapolis, North Carolina. Appreciate this man. He's been a blessing to my life. Appreciate the work he's doing in that area. And felt like he ought to preach our first sermon this morning. Brother Mike, you come around and preach to us about 30 minutes. Amen.
Steve, isn't it a joy to be at the camp meeting this morning? And how many of you are morning people? Let me see your hands. How many of you takes you about 6 cups of coffee before you're a morning person? There you go. And we've been in Bible school this week, so anywhere I can go and we don't have to hear hallelujah, 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 praise you the Lord, is a good place this morning. But I am so glad to be here. What a wonderful opportunity to be here and be among God's people. And what an opportunity to be around Brother Steve. I certainly do appreciate the Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting, and I appreciate the Dagenhart family. I appreciate people that love the Lord, and they demonstrate that in their life and in their actions, and I feel that way with Brother Steve, and he's a dear friend, and I appreciate him. If you got your Bibles this morning, I want you to take them and turn over to the book of Acts with me. Acts chapter number 14 this morning. Acts chapter number 14, and I want to give you real quickly a thought that Lord laid on my heart a few weeks ago. In Acts chapter number 14, and if you will, I want you to stand up with me this morning, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 6, and then we're going to jump over and read verse number 19. So I want us to look at the book of Acts chapter number 14, and let's begin reading in verse number 1, down through verse number 6, and we'll jump over to verse 19. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to what? Stone them. They were aware of it and fled to Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lieth round about. Look at verse number 19 with me. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been, what's that last word? Dead. This morning, real quickly, I want to deal with this thought, while the devil writes your eulogy. While the devil writes your eulogy. You may be seated this morning. If anybody had a testimony for the glory of God, it was the Apostle Paul. He was a religious man. He was a man that did everything in his power to persecute and try to wipe out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we all knew what happened to the Apostle Paul on that road to Damascus that one good glad day. The Son of God broke through Paul's blindness and broke through Paul's darkness and saved him on the road to Damascus. And from that point on, there was a change in this man's life. He went from serving the devil to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in his power, everywhere he went, he was testifying that I was once blind, but now I see. I was once in darkness and Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. And it didn't take anybody long to know that Paul's life had been radically changed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sure am thankful that same grace is still alive and active today. There's no sinner that Jesus cannot save. There's no sin that he cannot forgive. There's no person that he cannot reach. And everywhere that Paul went, it was noised abroad of what Jesus Christ had done in his life. I believe that Paul made Jesus proud, and I believe that he made the devil mad, because the devil one time had this man. The devil one time had him bound, had him blind, and had him on his way to hell. But Jesus Christ set him free. So I believe the devil was doing everything he can. If I could get rid of Paul, if I could silence that voice, if I could stop the blessing of the gospel going forth, if I could just get this man to quit, if I could get this man to give up, I believe Christianity will settle down, and I believe the gospel would not spread. And I believe the devil made Paul a prime target number one. Have you ever noticed that anytime you step out for God, that the devil will make you prime target number one? He will put a target on your back and come after you. Why? For no other reason that you are promoting the glorious gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so as Paul was sharing that gospel message and doing the work of Christ, here's a group and they come after him and they haul him out and they stone him. I believe that devil at that moment began to grab his paper and pen and begin to pen these words. Paul, this man who once served Jesus Christ, is now dead. The voice is silenced. The gospel will no more come forth. And as the devil was penning that eulogy, there are three wonderful discoveries that pop up out of while the devil was penning that eulogy. The first discovery that is mentioned is that there were some brethren that surrounded him. The Bible says that when they stoned Paul, they hauled him out, supposing that he had been dead. If you know anything about the Jewish culture, they did not stop throwing stones till people were dead. This was not partly dead. This man was dead. I mean, 4 o'clock in the morning, dead. They drew this man out, and as they drew him out and they laid him dead for his corpse to rot, here come some people one by one and start surrounding this man. People that he had won to Christ start surrounding him. People that have been committed to Christ and have been a part of this man, one by one they start surrounding this man. And standing between the devil and the man of God was a crowd of people that says, not on my watch, not in our moment, but we're going to keep on hanging around him. I know he doesn't have life, but we're talking to the one who has life, who can bring life back again, and we're going to surround our man of God while the devil is writing the eulogy. We're going to stand in our place and trust God to bring him up, trust God to raise him up, trust God to touch him one more time, and we're going to surround our man of God that one more time he may get up with power. One more time he may get up with a touch. One more time he may go out and preach that glorious gospel message. You know what, we live in this day and hour where there's a lot of hurting preachers and there's a lot of folks with wounds and a lot of people with scars. You know what we need? We need some people that'll gather around the man of God and say, as long as I got breath in my body, I'll surround my man of God and I'll pray for him and I will lift up his hands to heaven and I will talk to God in his behalf. Because there's going to be some times when he's low. There's going to be some times when he feels like he cannot go. But hallelujah, standing between the devil and the man of God will be some unknown person. The names of these people are not even mentioned. The caliber of people are not even mentioned. It just said some certain disciples that had a love for this man said, I'm going to take my place. I'm going to get around him no matter the ridicule, no matter the mockery, no matter what somebody thinks, no matter what somebody says, I'm going to stand my ground till God touches him, till God raises him up. I don't think God's done yet. I don't think God's finished. I don't think God's done with this man, but I believe God can raise him up, and I believe God can touch him, and those wounds can be healed again, and those rocks can be gone again, and I believe we're going to see the best days yet to come. How many people, preachers, have gone through wounds, and they feel like they're all by themselves? Then about that time, somebody will send them a text or somebody will send them a call. Just want to let you know, the Lord had you on my heart today. Just want to let you know I'm praying for you today. You'll have no idea what that does for a man of God who's fighting the devil, who's fighting the flesh, who's fighting the world, just to have some unknown people just surround him. And when the devil was over there writing that eulogy, this was, hold on a minute, There's some people standing by one. I don't know who that first one is, but thank God for the first one. Because the first one brought the second one. And the second one brought the third one. And little after a while, you couldn't see Paul because all you could see was the ones that were surrounding him. When the devil writes your eulogy, thank God for the brethren that'll surround you. Hey, when the devil writes your eulogy, thank God for the breath that'll strengthen you. Look at verse number 20 with me. Not only did it say, howbeit the disciples that stood round about him, I like these next three words. The Bible says, he rose, what's that next word? Up. I see him laying there. He's out. He's wounds. He's been dragged out. He's been cut open. I believe he's been mocked. And there's the devil writing this eulogy of the Apostle Paul. But then something happens as those disciples gather around. What the devil took from Paul and what the stones took from Paul was his breath and was his life. What the devil took, God put back in him. Here he is laying there out cold, and the devil says he's done. But from another world, a breath from, they couldn't see what was going on, but from another world, there came a touch and something started happening. I believe the devil said this man had vision, but these stones are going to steal his vision. Yeah, this man had breath, but the stones have stolen his breath. This man had a walk, but the stones have taken a walk. But when the devil was writing his eulogy, God put a breath, a fresh breath from another world back in this man, and the Bible says that he rose up. I don't know about you, but I like to get in the story sometimes. Can you see this man laying there with the rocks all around him? And I mean people crying, and then all of a sudden there becomes those lungs, that fresh breath is starting again. The blood starts flowing through his body. His heart that once had stopped beating starts beating again. Why? Because God is putting a fresh breath back in this man. And what God put in him, he was able to rise up out of that situation. Let me say this. Sometimes it's not about you getting up. It's about God putting something in you so you can get up. How many times do we try to get up in our own power? Get up in our own strength, only to find ourselves with no vision, no walk, and we can't go forward. But then there comes a touch from another world, and what we didn't think we could do, and what we didn't think we could overcome, and what we didn't think we could rise up from, hallelujah, God gives us the strength to get up one more time. You know what we need in this day and hour? Yes, we need some brethren that'll surround the men of God, but we need a fresh touch from another world. Oh God, give us a fresh anointing so I can see again. God, give me a fresh anointing so I can have a passion for souls again. God, give me a fresh anointing so I have a walk that's right again. We need some men of God that'll get a fresh touch from another world. We've let the devil hurt us. We've let others wound us. And we've laid here dead. And we've laid here cold. And we've laid here lifeless. But it's high time the people of God get around them old altars one more time and say, God, one more time, touch my heart. One more time, stir my spirit. One more time, fall fresh on me. I need that heart to beat again. I need my eyes to see again. God, I want to go forward for you again. Aren't you glad there is a breath from another world that can raise you up and strengthen you for the journey ahead? There was brethren that surrounded him. There was a breath that strengthened him. But I like this. There was a boldness. There was a boldness that settled him. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 21. 20 and 21. Howbeit the disciples stood round about him and he rose up. I like that. He came into the city and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21 says, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, look at this. They returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, the same places where he got stuck. The same people that came out and stoned him. Can you imagine the look in their eyes? That man's done. We have heard the last from him. It's finished. But then here comes walking through the gates of the city. What happened to him? Here he comes. He's not done yet. He's coming back with fresh power. He's coming back with a fresh heartbeat. He's coming back with fresh passion. And he's coming with boldness. What gave him that boldness? I believe at this time, that's when Paul was called up to that third heaven that talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. When they stoned him in chapter number 14 was when that time he talks about and he got to see some things. He got to be, and he says, man, I'm on a first trip to glory. What somebody can do to me? I'm going down there that same crowd again because I know that absent from the body is present with the Lord. What are you going to do with somebody that knows that heaven is their home and their sins are been forgiven and their names in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's somebody that's excited about the Lord and can go face trouble knowing that there's a fresh touch and there's fresh power and there's people that are praying and they've seen the power of God firsthand in their life. But he comes back to that city. He comes back to that Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, to those people. And notice verse number 23. Verse number 23, notice what the Bible says. In verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And notice this. And that we must through much tribulation enter to the kingdom of God. Don't miss this. The devil was writing his eulogy. Paul's done. He's finished. He had those brethren that surround him. He had a breath that strengthened him. But his boldness that settled him, he's coming back with a different message. He's coming back with the message, and he's preaching this through much tribulation. Where is he preaching this message out of? The very wounds the devil was going to use to destroy him. Let me tell you, we're going to have to go through some tribulations because, look, I've had to go through them myself. Can I tell you some of the best messages you'll ever have to preach in your life, or God will let you preach? They're going to be out of your wounds in your life. It is out of them hurtful situations. Those things that you didn't think you would ever get over or ever get through will be the very tools that God will use in your life for you to share with somebody else and say, guess what? I know it looks bad now. I know it looks hopeless now. But that same God that got me up will be the same God that'll get you up. And the same God that's helped me through it will be the same God that'll help you through it. I know weeping may endure for the night, but I come to let somebody know that joy still comes in the morning, that the story's not over with yet. The final chapter has not been written yet, but God is still on the throne, and God has all power in heaven and in earth. And I know you may be bleeding now, and I know you may be hurting now, and I know you may be wounded now, but it's not over with yet. I got the marks to prove it, that the same God who helped me is the same God that can help you this morning. He starts preaching about them, that suffering, that tribulation. I believe he was an alliterated preacher. I think he had 3 points. First point was this: I know what it's like to be harmed. I got the wounds to let you know I know what it's like to be harmed. I believe I got some preachers in this place this morning that probably got some wounds. I know what it's like to be harmed. I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to be wounded in the ministry. I know what it's like to have people cast stones at you. I know what it's like for them to hit and to hurt because I got the scars and I got the marks. But I believe his second point to his message was this: I know what it's like to be healed. Because see, look at these wounds. They're not what they were when I first got them. What could Paul boast about the healing? Because it was the breath that entered him that caused the healings to take place. Maybe y'all didn't get that the first time around. He didn't heal because of his own natural tendencies. It was because of that fresh breath. That it was because of that fresh breath that entered into him, brought healing to those wounds. I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to be healed. But I believe his third point, I know what it's like to have hope. I know what it's like to have hope. It's not over with yet. This is not our race. We got a better land coming. Don't give up yet. Don't throw in the towel yet. Don't quit yet. The best is yet to come for the child of God. Don't quit part of the way through. Don't quit most of the way through. Finish strong for the glory of God, because there's a day coming that we can all rejoice in. There's a day coming when we're going to see Jesus face to face. There's a better land where there's no more sorrow. There's no more tears. There's no more heartbreaks. There's no more suffering. There's no more tears. The former things are passed away. How many of you are glad one day we're going to a better land, and soon and very soon, you and I are going to see the King. What a day that's going to be. I'm looking forward to the gates of pearl. I'm looking forward to the streets of gold. I'm looking forward to all those things of heaven. But I'll tell you what I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing my Savior that loved me so much. He died on a cross for my sins, washed away my sins, put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and saved an old wretch like me. Reached down in that horrible pit out of the miry clay, pull me up and set my feet upon a rock, establish my goings, put a new song in my mouth, even praise to my God, and many shall see it in fear and shall turn to the Lord. That's the one I'm looking forward to see that best friend that stood with me in the tough times, in the good times, in the daytime, in the nighttime. He's been my rock. He's been my friend. He's been my shelter. He's been my hope. He's been my anchor. He's been my captain. He's been my Lord. He's been my King. He's been my Savior. He's been my refuge. He's been my everything. I sure am thankful for that one who stood by me when the devil was writing his eulogy. There's been one who's been faithful in the good times and the bad times. And I can't wait to get at his feet one day and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for healing my wounds. Thank you, Lord, for giving me strength one more time to get up so I can go on for you. It's not done till the final chapter has been written. But there's a God who can take your wounds. There's a God who can take your hurts while the devil was writing your eulogy and make those the very opportunity for you to share the gospel. I heard a story one time. I'll share this story and I'm done. There was a story come out of New York, state of New York, where this church was going to have a massive friend day. They had worked and they had put in time and effort and invited the community to come for friend day. And Brother David Gibbs was going to go up there and he was going to speak for the friend day. Pastor called him on that Saturday night right before they were supposed to have the friend day and said, Brother Gibbs, I got some bad news. He said, Brother Gibbs, I don't want you to come because we've had a tragedy in our church. He said, well, sir, what was it? He said, two of my best men, he said, they were deacons in our church. Both of them have passed away in a tragic car accident. Brother Gibbs, it'd probably best if you didn't come. He said, well, I understand that. So they hung up the phone, and to that point, Brother Gibbs wasn't going to go. A few hours passed by, and that preacher called Brother Gibbs again. He said, Brother Gibbs, tomorrow's friend day, and we want you here. He said, just a few hours ago, you told me not to come. He said, no, no. He said, things have changed. He said, Brother Gibbs, let me tell you the story. He said, in that tragic accident, he said, two of my finest deacons were killed. He said, their wives were on the way to the church, and he said, I had to be the one to tell them that their husbands were dead. He said, as I began to tell those ladies that their husbands were dead, both of them just sat down with sheer shock and began to cry. And they said, Preacher, what were our husbands doing? They said, they were out to share the gospel and try to invite two families to come to church tomorrow. And they said, Preacher, can you take us to that wreck? They got in the car with the preacher and they went down there to the wreck, and they were still taping everything off and doing all the traffic accident stuff. And they reached in there and they pulled out them two little cards that had their names on it. And with tears coming down their face, Anita and Carol went to that preacher and said, can you take us to these houses? They got back in those cars, and that preacher took them to those houses, and those two now widows went and knocked on them doors, said, sir, tomorrow's our friend day, and our husbands gave their life to try to come out here to tell you to come. Will you come tomorrow? Brother Gibbs, do you realize that the news media has gotten a hold of this? And they're expecting a huge crowd tomorrow. We need you here. Hung up the phone, and Brother Gibbs made his way up to upstate New York for that meeting. He said when he got there, he could not even get into the door of the church. Place was packed, news media all around. And 15 minutes before church started, people were coming down the aisles saying, tell us, what do those two ladies have? Because what they got, we won't. What is in their life that's helping them right now, I got to have it in my life. They said for 15 minutes before the service ever started, people were down at the altars giving their heart to Christ. You know why? Because two ladies, Anita and Carol, found that there was some brethren that surrounded them, was praying for them. Found there was a breath. There was a breath that strengthened them to rise up when they couldn't. And there was a boldness. There was a boldness that settled them. I know I'm talking to a lot of preachers in here this morning. And you know what it's like to get some stones thrown at you. You know what it's like to lose your vision and lose your passion because of the wounds of others. But I want to tell you, there's a God this morning that can help you. There's a God this morning that can heal you. There's a God this morning that'll give you some hope, that there's fresh breath for you. Don't let this be your eulogy. Let this be your overcoming moment. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Take that.